This is KUT. In Austin, students on the street without a parent between 9 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. are breaking the city's daytime juvenile curfew. If caught, those students can be ticketed for a Class C misdemeanor. Last legislative session, the state decriminalized chronic absenteeism, and some say daytime juvenile curfew violations should be decriminalized too. KUT's Kate McGee reports the Austin Municipal Court has taken some steps to keep kids charged with breaking curfew from entering the criminal justice system.
About 15 middle and high school students sit in a row of seats in a dark courtroom at Austin's Municipal Court downtown.
All right, guys, good afternoon. My name is Christina Rodriguez. I'm a juvenile case manager for the ones who don't know me or are not assigned to me.
A few of the students are quietly talking, but most of them are silent. No one looks like they want to be here. That's probably because they were caught out of school by a police officer. Now they're at Municipal Court's juvenile curfew class.
So today's class is basically going to tell you what is a curfew law and what's also a truancy law. What's the difference between the law and the school rules? Understanding the risks and the consequences. And I'll give you a little bit more about that.
The class is painfully slow, and the kids are difficult to engage. But it's one way the Austin Municipal Court tries to keep these students out of the criminal justice system. If they choose to take the class, the ticket can be waived, and the court won't even file it in their system. The municipal judge would not talk to KUT on the record, but in an email, Court Operations Officer Kim Chadwick said the goal of the diversion program is to resolve these citations in a less punitive way. Morgan Craven is with the advocacy group Texas Appleseed. She says the court procedures don't go far enough.
So if the child is unable, for whatever reason, to complete the requirements, they do end up with a Class C misdemeanor on their record. So that's not true decriminalization, which I think does need to happen.
These kinds of charges can follow a student. It must be reported when students apply for college, enlist in the military, and even when a family applies to live in public housing.
Decriminalizing something doesn't mean that suddenly nobody's paying attention to the kids that are not in school during the day and should be. There are many other ways to address the needs of those children and support children and get them back in school that don't include a criminal process.
So can I have anybody read the question up there for me?
Back at the juvenile curfew class, students are quizzed on different aspects of the law and shown videos of what could happen to them if they leave campus during the school day. Things like being unaccounted for during an emergency or getting kidnapped while off campus.
That's why I say you guys are easily distracted by the cell phone. Usually you become a victim between the hours of 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Rodriguez tells students when people see them on the street, they call the police.
Especially with elderly. If they see you walking around, they usually do what? They'll call the police. Hey, this person looks suspicious. They should be at school. Things like that.
Police are also likely to view students on the street differently. Troy Gay is the assistant chief for the Austin Police Department.
And when you do see a juvenile in the middle of the day while school is there, is that the chances that they may be a potential suspect in committing crimes in that specific area is high.
It's hard to ignore race in all of this. All of the students in the classroom are black and brown, and that reflects the race of the students cited for breaking daytime curfew. Last year, 85% of students who received juvenile curfew citations from Austin ISD Police and APD were students of color.
Yeah, we see that overrepresentation of students of color and usually students with disabilities in pretty much every single punishment, whether it's alternative school placements or suspensions or contact with school police through arrests or use of force or the use of courts.
That's Morgan Craven with Texas Appleseed again.
This is just one more example of how the biases of administrators or police officers can play into how children's behavior is viewed and how they are punished for that behavior.
And in a racially segregated city like Austin, there are clear areas of town where there are more students of color than others. Ellen Morris is the director for Children, Law, and Policy at the University of Houston Law Center. Morris says laws like these criminalize being on the street, and some kids may just be on the street more than others.
The kids in an inner city area, kids of color, kids of lower income, they're more likely to be hanging out on the street corner and might get into some trouble. There might be something that happens.
But white suburban kids might be doing the same thing, just in their home behind closed doors.
So we have this image that the problems happen out on the street because we don't see what's happening in the home.
Another group against juvenile curfew, the homeschool community. Ann Gebhardt runs Heart of Texas, a homeschool group in North Texas. Her town of Bedford also has a daytime juvenile curfew, along with most major cities in the state. Gebhardt says homeschool students have a lot of reasons to be outside during the school day without a parent.
Walking a dog, going to the park, going on a field trip. Maybe it's a child taking dual credit classes, and so they're driving themselves to school.
Gebhardt says being a kid in public shouldn't be a crime.
And I just don't feel like in America, being out in public just by yourself or with a parent or with a group of kids is automatically a picture of crime about to happen.
In Austin, the juvenile curfew law must be reviewed by the city council every 3 years. Councilmember Delia Garza represents District 2. Garza says she's open to hearing from local law enforcement about why this ordinance is needed. But Garza says schools should address why the student isn't in class in the first place.
There's always underlying issues that affect children's lives that we should be addressing those things. Like, you know, maybe their home situation's not the best. Maybe they are homeless. I hope we can look at it more holistically than slapping some child with a misdemeanor.
The city council is expected to review the law again this spring. Kate McGee, KUT News.